Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 6. Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 6. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother he has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me. And he said to me, You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, Who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, It is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. You ever hear the phrase, don't kill the messenger? You ever have to use that phrase yourself? It's typically not a good thing. But then again, it is, because people need to hear what comes next. I remember one time I had to use that phrase. I was working with two other people stringing up cables for a computer network in an office building. We had literally hundreds of little cables, and they all funneled back to one point. It's a big panel, and you have to take every single cable, cut the end off, separate out 8 tiny little wires, and then punch those wires into what's called a patch panel. Have you ever seen wires that run through your house for your telephone? Those all lead back to a similar panel. And you have to get those little colored wires just right. You have to be very careful to make sure that each color is in the right place and each wire has a good connection. Needless to say, doing all that for an entire office building means hours of mind-numbing work. So these other two guys were crammed into a tiny closet, punching little wires into this panel for several hours. I was working on some other stuff, came in to check on them, and immediately said, "Don't kill the messenger." They stopped, looked over at me with this why kind of look, and waited for me to say what comes next. Well, what came next was, you have your little colored wires in the wrong order. All their work was for nothing, and now they had more work to do just to get back to ground zero. Some messages you really don't want to hear, but you need to hear anyway. That story also illustrates something very important about a messenger. It's not about them. It's about the message that needs to be communicated. The messenger has a message that needs to be listened to. Well, that passage read earlier out of Isaiah makes it pretty clear that the Messiah was to be God's messenger. That's the Messiah's whole purpose from the beginning. Says, from the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. God's purpose will constrain the Messiah from the very beginning. There's a message he has to communicate. But it won't go well. Isaiah says at one point that the Messiah will say, I have labored in vain. Nobody's listening. But the Messiah will console himself with the sure knowledge that he is faithfully communicating exactly what God wants him to. And that means he is, in fact, successful. What's the message? What is the purpose? It says at the end of that passage, to bring Jacob, the Israelites, back to God. And not just that, but to be a light to the Gentiles. bring people from all over the earth back to God. This morning we're going to see Jesus speaking to people. He's trying to communicate the message. It's all about the message. But this could easily be the point where he'd be tempted to say, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Because people won't listen. But he still is the messenger. He's still the one with the message. And it's something we need to hear. Let's pray before we dive in. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that pretty much everybody doesn't like to hear bad messages, even when they are in fact good messages, because they're something we really need to hear. Father, we also know that a lot of times what you have to tell us are things we'd really rather not hear. But Father, you are God. Everything you say is something we need to hear, and nothing you say is something we can afford to ignore. So Father, we pray and ask that you would give us humble hearts, that even if what you were saying isn't something we want to hear, that we would open our hearts and receive it anyway. Father, you say in your word that your word will not return to you void without accomplishing your purpose. Father, that's our prayer this morning, that whatever you want to tell us, whenever you want to tell it to us, that you would find our ears wide open and ready to listen. And so, Father, we also pray that this morning as we turn to your word, that you would open each of our hearts, that we might be prepared to receive it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you reach Acts and Romans, you've gone too far. This morning, we will continue our journey through this book with John 8, 12 through 30. John 8, 12 through 30. Let's begin with verse 12. It says, Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What does Jesus mean when he says, I am the light of the world? When you envision a light, kind of like a lamp held aloft on a dark night, it illuminates what's around you so that you can tell where you are and avoid unseen obstacles. Clearly, Jesus does this. And elsewhere in the Bible, it tells us who have put our faith in him that now we're supposed to walk as children of light. And part of that is exposing what's going on in this world of darkness for what it truly is. People can get all wrapped up in a sinful path and come to think it's a good thing. The light exposes works of darkness for what they are. But that's not exactly what Jesus is talking about here. He goes on to say, He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The picture you get here is walking home on a dark night and seeing the front porch light on. You ever notice how when you're heading towards a light, even one off in the distance, it still helps you not run into things? That's because you can see things silhouetted against the light. But if you look anywhere else, head in any other direction, the light doesn't do you a bit of good. You're still bumbling around in the darkness. It only helps if you're heading towards it, following it. That's the image Jesus is trying to convey here. He's the light. And he's not just like a lamp that we can use to go wherever we want to. He's like a light in the distance. And we must follow him to reap the benefits of that light. And he describes himself as the light of life. He'll take us to a destination. That destination is life. Which of course means that whatever else is out there in the darkness, down a different path. It doesn't matter what it seems like to our clouded eyes. It is not life. Jesus is saying that he's the messenger we need to hear. Let's see why I said he has cause to despair here. Verses 13 through 18. The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." The Pharisees are, of course, referencing John 5:21, when Jesus was trying to get them to listen to him, and he said, "Look, in courts, if all a person has is their own testimony, it's not believable. But there are many other things that testify of me." And Jesus went on to list all those things. Obviously, all the Pharisees heard was the first part, because now they're accusing him of simply bearing witness of himself. Notice how they twist things. Now, Jesus didn't say it was wrong for somebody to bear witness of themselves, just that in a court of law, your own testimony doesn't matter. You have to have other testimonies to validify yours. So he tells them there in verse 14 that he knows full well who he is and where he came from. And then he says something interesting. There in verse 15 he says, "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one." What does it mean to judge according to the flesh? Does this mean when we see somebody obviously sinning that we shouldn't call it sin? No. What it means, and I'm sure you've all done this, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. What it means is to assume things about people, to broadcast your ideas and opinions onto them, to judge according to outward appearances. That's what these Pharisees have been doing to Jesus this whole time, not bothering to find out the truth, just assuming things about him. And when we do that, what is shown? The state of our hearts. We judge according to our flesh. We don't wind up with a factual statement of the other person at all. Just evidence of what's in our hearts, in our flesh. Jesus doesn't judge like that. Ever. He goes on to say that my judgment is true. I am with the Father who sent me. Who knows exactly what's in our hearts? Who never broadcasts anything, but always knows the true state of things? God. And he doesn't stop there, but diligently inquires anyway. We need to be like Jesus. Don't assume. Don't broadcast onto others from out of your own heart. Diligently inquire. We're not God, and we still won't fully know, but we are supposed to imitate him. What I want you to see here is the role of the messenger. He said he's a messenger. Now he says why you should listen to a messenger. One, the messenger knows why he was sent. He was given the message. He was told to go. So, of course, he knows who he is and why he's there. Also, the one who sends the messenger knows who the messenger is and why he was sent. Who else, other than those two people, could testify of who a messenger is? He is, of course, talking about himself and God the Father. Let's see how the Pharisees respond. Verses 19 through 20. Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. The point Jesus is making here is crystal clear. If you know God, then you know God. So if you know God the Son, then you know God the Father. If you know God the Father, then you have to know God the Son. There is only one God. The Pharisees obviously don't know who Jesus is. They refuse to know. They can't understand. So it's equally obvious that they don't know the Father. Jesus obviously thinks they are exactly right in asking, "Where is your Father?" At this point, that's a side issue though. And so Jesus gets back to the point, the message he was sent to give, verses 21 through 24. Then Jesus said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" And he said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Jesus is not like most messengers. With most messengers, like me on a Sunday morning, for instance, they don't matter. What matters is the message. But in Jesus' case, he is the message. The light we need to be heading towards, following, is him. So he says, "If you do not believe, I am he." If you do not believe in who Jesus is, why he came, what he did, if you do not believe the message, you will die in your sins. Notice that Jesus uses two words here. In verse 21, he says sin. But in verse 24, he says sins. There is both sins and sin. All of us have rebelled against God. We've all sinned countless times. So unless something changes the situation, we die in our sins, plural. But Jesus was sent that in him we might be forgiven. So once presented with Christ, you now essentially die for only one sin, the sin of rejecting the one who could have taken all your other sins away. It's obvious here that he's talking about the fact that he came from heaven, that they are of this world which is in a state of rebellion against God. They think he's talking about committing suicide. And you know, in a way, they're kind of right. He will go willingly to his death. But that's still in the future a ways. They really don't seem to be able to understand what he's saying. Look at verses 25 through 27. Then they said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Now, you might be tempted to think that Jesus didn't answer their question, that Jesus responded evasively like a politician. He doesn't come out and say exactly who he is. But think of that passage we read about the Messiah from Isaiah. Who is the Messiah? A messenger. What does Jesus say about himself here? "I have been giving you a message, communicating it from the beginning. I have more to tell you. I'm speaking what has been given to me to say." Anybody could claim to be the Messiah. but only one could be the Messiah. Jesus is showing them that he is doing what they knew the Messiah was to do, but they did not understand. To their rebellious, hardened hearts, Jesus' message is incomprehensible. These Pharisees were people that loved to proclaim themselves, look good, and get a following. They assume that's what Jesus is doing. That's who he is. He's like them. So they see him as competition and are trying to undo him. They can't seem to see him any other way. So Jesus goes on here in our last verses to say that there will come a time when they can see that he is and has been just a messenger. Verses 28 through 30. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Now, when Jesus says, "When you lift up the Son of Man," he's of course talking about the crucifixion. He's talking about the cross. And what does the cross show about Jesus? That Jesus is completely selfless. He wasn't trying to do anything for himself. He wasn't trying to get anything for himself. What he is completely submitted to the Father's will, completely obedient to him. "I do nothing of myself. I always do those things that please him." And the cross is the proof. It's the culmination of the message Jesus was sent to give. "As my Father taught me, I speak these things." Jesus tells them here that the cross will authenticate everything he has been telling them. Hearing this, not understanding what he means by be lifted up, but understanding his wholehearted desire to obey and please his Father, says that many believed in him. If the point of this passage is obvious, Jesus came to us from the Father as a messenger. Jesus' whole life, his whole ministry, the whole reason he came was to be a light to us, to show us the way to eternal life. And more than that, not only did he come with a message, but he is the message. It's a message we need to hear. "If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Only by receiving Christ's message, only by receiving him, can we have life. If we go to the left or to the right, we wander off the path. We're stuck abiding in darkness. It is only in the light, in Christ, that life can be found. It's easy to see how much we need this message, how much we need Christ. If you're stuck out in the darkness, it's obvious that you need a light. But even though this is a message we need to hear, it's also a message we don't want to hear. Because in order to hear it, you have to admit that you are in darkness. You have to admit that you're not where you should be. You have to admit that you can't find the way yourself. Understanding the nature of sin, you can see why we don't want to hear this message. Sin is rebellion against God. It's choosing to go our own way instead of his. And you don't have to watch little kids very long before you realize we're all sinners. You watch a little child and all too quickly they develop an independent self-will. They want to go their own way. And it takes a very humble heart to be willing to admit, "I was foolish in choosing to go my own way. I was wrong." We don't want to hear it. And so we often play kill the messenger. We played it then, True, Christ is in willing obedience to the Father, went to the cross of his own accord. He's God. If he didn't, we never could have stuck him there. But we didn't want to hear his message. And so we put him there. We killed the messenger. And Christ redeemed our act of murder and turned it into the culmination of his message. He is the light of the world. And Christ has unlimited power to redeem, to renew, to transform, to be a light in the darkness. No matter what is going on in your life this morning, no matter what is going on in your heart, I pray that God would grant you humility. That unlike these Pharisees here, you would be able to see all that Christ has done for you. And in seeing, that you too would choose to believe the message. Believe Christ and follow him. And remember, we must keep following him. Don't wander off course to the left or to the right. There's nothing out there but darkness and things to trip over. If you know Christ, you have the light. Abide in it. Abide in him. Jesus is both the messenger and the message. And we must follow him.